everybody. Welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen, and today is May 8th. Today, we are going to continue in this week's Come Follow Me block. We're going to look at Mosiah chapter 9. And again, we're going to give a little bit of history here. Now, bear with me, because I know that I've been giving a lot of historical background each of these days. But I feel like as we move into this section of Mosiah with the flashbacks and things like that, we need to better understand historically what's going on here so that we can better understand the principles that these books and these chapters are trying to teach us. So in Mosiah chapter 9, we are going to begin kind of the history of Zenith. We're going to begin the plates of Zenith. This is going to be chapters 9 through 22. And if you notice at the end of Mosiah chapter 8, Mormon is going to insert just a little bit about what the record of Zenith is. It says it's an account of his people from the time they left the land of Zarahemla until the time they were delivered out of the hands of the Lamanites. Now, from my best estimation, it goes from about 200 BC to about 120-ish BC. So we're looking at about 80 years and 3 generations here in this record. Now, to better understand this, let's go back a little bit into the book of Omni, because there in about 225-ish BC, Mosiah, King Benjamin's father, was in the land of Nephi. He was with the Nephites, and some of the Nephites were beginning to fall from righteousness. And so the Lord tells Mosiah to leave the land of Nephi with anyone who was wanting to follow the Lord. And a lot of Nephites listened. A lot of them followed Mosiah. And so Mosiah leads them away, and they end up stumbling upon the land of Zarahemla, the people of Zarahemla, who were Mulekites. The Mulekites were a group of people who had also left Jerusalem a long time ago, and they were thrilled because Mosiah and his people had the brass plates, and so they were so happy to have those records. Eventually, the people choose Mosiah to be their king. He teaches them about the Lord. And then after a time, Mosiah sends a group of people back to the land of the Nephites to learn about them and to see what's going on. And at this point, it was Lamanites living in that land. Now, Zenith was part of that group, and there was something about the land of Nephi that Zenith wanted, and he wanted to live there. In fact, in verse 3, it says, "And yet I, being overzealous to inherit the land of our fathers, collected as many as were desirous to go up to possess the land." So he wants to live in that land. He gathers a group of people and he moves to that land, and he starts a treaty with the king of the Lamanites. He has permission to live there. And the king of the Lamanites was like, "Yeah, go ahead, live there." But he didn't do that out of goodness or kindness or charity. He did that because he wanted those people to prosper and to farm and to have a bunch of great things to build up their society so that he could come in and take it all from them. And that's exactly what happened. The Lamanites come against the people of Zenith and they begin to war against them. So let's talk just a little bit about Zenith. We don't necessarily know a ton about Zenith, but from what I can gather in the scriptures, he wasn't a bad guy. He wasn't someone who was blatantly trying to reject the Lord. He wasn't idolatrous. He wasn't wicked. But think about what we learned about him in verse 3. It says, "I being overzealous to inherit the land of our fathers." Now, we don't exactly know why he wanted that land so much. We don't know if it's because he wanted to be king over a group of people. Maybe he just had a little bit of Lot's wife syndrome, where he looked back to the land of Nephi and kind of looked longingly towards what he had. We don't necessarily know, but I think the word overzealous there can teach us a lot, because I think we've changed the meaning of the word zealous a little bit, because we talk about being zealous and it's not necessarily a bad thing. We talk about it being ambitious and driven, but the original meaning of the word zealous, the Latin root, shares the same root as the word jealous. So the word zealous really meant kind of covetous. And so here it's saying that he was just really covetous of what they had in the land of Nephi. And that's what led him away from the safety and stronghold of Zarahemla. But I have a hard time believing that the Lord didn't warn Zenith at some point that it would be a dangerous thing to leave Zarahemla and to try to inherit that land in Nephi. Elder Bednar once gave a face-to-face with the youth of the church, and in that he was asked about Revelation. Now, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but essentially he said that anyone who is trying to be good will be warned by the Lord if they start heading down a path that is incorrect. And so I have a hard time thinking that the Lord didn't reach out in revelation and in spirit to Zenith to tell him, hey, this might not be a good idea. Stay here in Zarahemla in safety and with other believers. But that zealousness, that covetousness, that ambition that he had drove him away from Zarahemla into the land of Nephi amongst the Lamanites and eventually led to this war and this destruction. And I think that that's a really important lesson for you and I in our lives. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's okay and I think it's good to have ambitions and desires. I think it's important to have things that we want to accomplish, things that we want to achieve. But if Zenith teaches us anything, it's that we need to be willing to place our wants, our desires, our ambitions on the back burner in order to follow what God wants and desires for us. Before my mission, my goal, my ambition, my desire was to major in film, to go into film and to be a wonderful filmmaker, right? And after my mission, I had too many credits to be able to transfer to BYU. I had forgot to defer, and so I couldn't go back to BYU, Idaho. And so I ended up going to the University of Utah. And 2 weeks after I was home from my mission, I was sitting down across from the head of the film department at the University of Utah. And he was trying to talk me into becoming a film major and telling me why I wanted to be a part of that program. And as part of his selling points, he said, let me tell you why you want to go here instead of that school down south, which is what they call BYU on the University of Utah campus. It's like Voldemort. It's the college that shall not be named. So he says, let me tell you why you want to come here instead of that school. He said, here in our program, I'm not going to edit your creativity. If you want to swear, go for it. If you want violence or nudity or drug use, anything like that, you can do that. I'm not going to edit that creativity. And he was certainly, if this was a selling point, he was selling to the wrong audience, because here I am 2 weeks home from my mission. And I said, okay, well, I would assume that as part of this program that I would be required to watch all of these films with unedited creativity. And he confirmed that that was accurate, that I would be watching all these student films. And I said, thank you. And I got up and I walked out and I majored in Spanish, which is very different than filmmaking. But there comes a point in our lives with all our desires, with all our ambitions, that we have to recognize God's desires and God's ambitions for us. We have to be willing to take what we want and to set it aside for what God wants for us. One of my favorite Elder Holland quotes of all time, which is saying something because he has so many incredible quotes, but one of my favorite quotes of his comes from a book called Created for Greater Things. And in that book, he says, we must be willing to place all that we have, not just our possessions, they may be the easiest things of all to give up, but also our ambition and pride and stubbornness and vanity. We must place it all on the altar of God, kneel there in silent submission, and willingly walk away. Again, my friends, it's not that our desires or our ambitions are wrong or bad. God wants us to have ambition. He wants us to have desires. But when all of a sudden our desire or our path doesn't follow the path that our Father in heaven would have us follow, we have to be humble enough and submissive enough to set our wants aside in order to trust a loving Heavenly Father who has something better in store for us. My friends, it is so hard to trust someone that we don't know. This all comes down to trust. Being willing to yield our wants and desires to God comes down to trusting God. But we can't trust Him if we don't know Him. And we can't know Him if we're not willing to take time out of our lives to spend time with Him in the scriptures, in prayer, in the temple, in church. As we come to know Him, our trust in Him will increase, and our desire to follow His desires for us will begin to overpower our own wants, our own ambitions, our own overzealous thoughts and actions. And as we do that, I testify that we will begin a path that will lead to the most happiness, because it is the path that God desires for us. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.